The message today is a directive: walk in God's light. That's a word that God sends to each and every one of us as His children, as His servants in the world today, to assure us that He's the one who is the light that we are to emanate. You know, I've been sensing that God has been saying to us today, He wants me to say to somebody today about the fact that He wants you to reign. Something about the fact that as you battle the battles that you deal with in life, and we all have them, He wants us to always know that we, as one man has said, we don't fight for and to the victory, but we fight from victory. That we stand on the mountain of God as His children, and He has given us our full investment. Yet it has not been fully realized, but it will be. And we need to know that we are called to that, to a destiny, and that's in God. And so walking in the light is what we do. Amen? Because it's a part of our testimony to the world that Jesus Christ is alive. Amen. In a dark world that we're in, like we're in today, people are not seeing many examples of Christ's living church. Churches are abandoning Him, you know, and denominations, and we are coming to agreement with all kinds of isms and theisms and persuasions, and people saying, whatever happened to the traditional church? Whatever happened to the Christian church? And so somehow God is saying it's important that you and I continue to take up the leg, and we continue to walk the walk, not just talk the talk, and that we walk in God's light. And so as part of my introduction now, we look at the text, which is 1 John chapter 1. We're just going to look at verses 5 through 10. There Apostle John is writing there, and he said, "This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." We can understand that part of this text as John is writing, he's writing to the Gnostics of his day, and not directly to the believers, because we know that in Christ, therefore, our sins have been done away with. But still, the message is that we don't slip into these delusions about the faith, and because there's so many who are slipping away from their firm foundation by the influence of all kinds of new religions and isms and everything like that. So don't you become one of those Gnostics and say that Jesus really didn't come in the flesh. He just kind of like was a spirit being. And that's a whole nother theological teaching itself. But in the book of 1 John, the apostle writes encouraging the church to steep their lives fully in the reality that God is light, that God is love, and that God is eternal life. John is said to be enjoying a delightful fellowship with the God of light, love, and life. Understanding the blessedness of this kind of fellowship and intimacy with God, John desperately wants all the church of God to enjoy the same degree of fellowship with God. It is to this that we are being called in these dangerous days of such encroaching darkness. Today we focus on the first of John's three concerns: God is light. The apostle would have us to know that to live in the truest form of communion and oneness with God and fellowship with Him, believers are to walk in light and not in darkness. Here, light represents all that is holy, all that is godly, all that is embodied in the very character and nature of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the virtues of Him, such as those that we find listed also in Galatians 5:22-25. When we see these fruit of the Spirit, we're really talking about the character traits of Jesus Christ. We're really talking about His life makeup, His character, and that the fruit of the Spirit is, amen, and it is to stamp our lives too. So as we read, He says, but the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. He says, against these there is no law. In other words, you can do this all you want. Amen. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now let me note for you that one of the things that is happening is the growth of the universal church. In other words, what I mean, churches where any and everything goes. Amen. And everybody's going to heaven. Well, they must have a totally different Bible than you and I have. And you see how the whole political persuasion in the world today is drawing people into this liberalism and just not slipping over into their politics, but it's becoming a part of their theology. And all the things that are coming down from the mountain, be it the White Stone Mountain of Washington, D.C. You know, you should have heard Jonathan Cahn as he said, President, who gave you the authority to change God's laws? And break God's laws. I mean, that man has a lot of smutza. What is it? Putza. I normally know it on a normal rainy day. But the point Paul is making here is, if you are a true Christian, you have already come in, alive in Christ, in the Spirit. And that you have repented of your sins and received Christ in your heart as your Lord, God, and Savior. Now, you need to make sure you're really born again for real. Not for play. Come on. Not for play, but for real. We got a lot of players out there today. So the point being made here is, since you are alive in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. That's your whole character, your whole disposition. It's your whole makeup. That's who you are. See, your real life, as Dr. Leach likes to say, is spirit. Yeah. You know, and I've been telling you for years that you are a spirit being. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. With a soul wearing a body. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. And one day, because who you are already in Christ is in you, yeah, it's not going to take a whole dissertation for God to all of a sudden change you into your new super body. Right. But in a what? In a what twinkling? A twinkling of what? An eye? Well, you know, they just said it was 10/100ths of a second, but the last study I saw said 3/100ths of a second. So it's getting on down there, folks. So there's something in you, I believe, that supernatural power of Christ in you already, because His Spirit is in you. Amen? And if His Spirit is in you, it's the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There I go, getting excited again. So the point being here is, since you are alive in the Spirit again, walk in the Spirit. Why are you not doing that if you're not doing that? That's the way you are supposed to live now, because that's who you are. And you are just living, if you're not living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, you're just falsifying who you really are. You really are a believer. You really ought to be doing and walking in the Spirit like you should. That's the power that you have in you to do that. So just stop all of this other stuff. Let's get on down to the real business. That's the way you're supposed to be living now. So what's the deal? What's holding you up? Philippians 4:8-9 there further illustrates the light of God in the character of Jesus that you and I are supposed to emulate and walk in and to live out. Here Paul writes, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, and whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, and whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." When he says meditate on these things, now you remember the old illustration that is really true. It really means to chew the cud. You know, just like the cow. He takes it down and he just brings it back on up again. And chew it again. If chewing it once was enough, he'll go after it again. Amen. And that's what you can do the word. That deposit of the living word that's in you. Because Jesus said, "My word is spirit and my word is life." Now that's a unique thing about God's word. It means that whenever you are meditating on the word, and whenever you are reading the word, whenever you are speaking in the spirit, the Holy Spirit of God is manifesting to you. Whenever you're just reading it, whatever, you're having a divine encounter. You need to. It's not just black letters on a white page or red letters, whichever one you read. There's something going on. And if you don't know that, there's something yet about the word and something about the living word that we need to discover. We got to go deeper, folks. We got to get deeper into this reality that we're supposed to be up. Or we are just, you know, faking something. We're just actors on a stage. And we might think we're somewhere we are not. Because of our imaginations have been so persuaded by our souls over all of these years, we don't know who we are. We just, because we know the Bible a little bit and talk, I'm just getting a little excited here. Because I know this is serious stuff. And I don't know why some people just won't get it. Sitting up in churches for years after years and we still don't get it. We're actors acting out. And we live good religious lives. Good religious lives. But in our hearts, in our private lives, when we're by ourselves, we're not walking in the light. Watch your diet. I don't mean food. Food's okay. Have a little bit of it myself. But you know what I mean. The things, the eye gate, the ear gate. The things you say to people who are not your church buds. As we walk in the light, we will here regularly confess our sins and live a life that reveals Christ. And remember when I shared with you, the Lord is not saying that we need not to confess things that have not been confessed. But sometimes we're going back confessing stuff when we were kids. You know what I mean? We just begin this religious mantra. But Hebrews 7:25 says, "Therefore, he," speaking of Christ, I just feel like I'm supposed to assure somebody, "What you did some years ago is dead and gone and under the blood. You are no longer guilty." Can I tell you that? Come on, say it. You are no longer guilty. Jesus died, what? Once for all. Once for all. So Hebrews 7:25 says, "Therefore he," speaking of Jesus, "is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for us." Proof of our walk in the light, according to John, will be keeping the commandments of God and replacing any bitterness or hatred we have toward others with love. Two major roadblocks that will hinder this walk in the light will be falling in love with the world and falling for the lying deceptions of false teachers. Having a strong, stable faith in Christ Jesus infuses a believer's life with Christ's own life. And what do I mean by that? It means that because of faithfully living for the Lord, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus will pervade your life. He will penetrate the deeper places in you, take over greater territory of you, as you love him and as you fellowship with him and as you're intimate with him. You will welcome him into the deeper places of your mind, your psychic, your life, you know. And therefore, we are learning how to cast down strongholds and vain imaginations that we get attacked with. And the devil is majoring, saints, and stuff. His whispers to your ears in the night. His visitations into you in your dreams as he harasses you. And when you wake up in the middle of the night, pray in the spirit. Amen. Just pray in the spirit. Amen. That'll take care of that. You know, we stay in the word, which is the washing of the water of the word. Well, our consciences need to be renewed, our minds renewed, you know, as Romans 12:2 tells us. Have a strong, stable faith in Jesus Christ that he is who he is and he loves you. And he'll pervade your life. And something of the essence of Christ's very own life and spirit that's inherent in the believer's inner man, that's your spirit man, it will shine through to the surface of your outer man. Amen. And that's what the world needs to see. The world needs to see. I hope this is not getting some foggy something to you and you don't understand what I'm saying. I'm talking about God being on display in you. Amen. And that he will minister something of his own grace and anointing to the lives of others through you. He'll touch people through you. People will be influenced by you. And they don't know why, they just love to be around you. Come to your house and eat cake, you know. This all shows the power of the uncompromised life. When God has that kind of freedom in you. Amen. The uncompromised life. And that life is eternal. Hallelujah. 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 This is great. I just feel great knowing I'm an eternal being. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I am. You ought to tell yourself that sometimes. Sometimes you wake up and you're going to just slap yourself. I am an eternal being. Yeah. I am my Father's child. Yeah. My Heavenly Father's child. The devil hates for you to say that kind of stuff. He doesn't want you to know who you are. And can I tell you, there is a very real devil? You don't believe me? Will you believe Jesus? What did Jesus say? I saw Satan, Lucifer, fall from heaven like lightning. I saw Lucifer fall from heaven like lightning. So yes, he is a fallen angel who was an angel and God kicked him out. He was not able to subdue God. God just freely just said, oh, get him a little angel over there. Send an angel after him, you know. So, saints, to walk in darkness is not to have fellowship with God. That's what John is writing to us. And so what does it mean to walk in the light? Following the scriptural injunction to walk in the light simply means faithfully living the Christian life and keeping oneself, as James says, pure and unspotted from the world. What do you mean by unspotted? Unstained, undefiled. To walk in the light is to spend time with God, to fellowship with the Almighty, to have a serious, close-in love relationship with him. And this word that John uses for walk in the Greek is peripateo. Here means simply to tread all around, to walk about, means anywhere you go, walk in the light. Whatever you're doing, where are you going? Traveling on a plane, on a cruise ship, on a train, wherever it is, walk in the light. Don't shove it. Shelve it. Put it on the shelf. And don't set it aside. Don't make yourself convenient. Don't make it convenient for you to be with us one crowd and then different with in another crowd. So to simply walk in the light is to make a pathway, to trample around, consistently laying down tracks of righteousness, I like to put it. So to occupy one's life with the matters that prove your devotion as a follower of Christ, you walk in the light. And among other things, walking denotes motion in a person's life. You're moving forward. You're moving ahead in your Christian walk. Amen. And so God wants us moving ahead. Where are we supposed to be going now in our individual lives? Amen. We must be getting strong. Don't be persuaded by all the stuff you hear in the news about how good it is and how better it's going to be and everything like that. And then don't get so wrapped up in the fear of all the other stuff which might be more true. Amen. He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. Meditate on him. Hallelujah. So, God wants you to move forward in him. So that's the life that he wants your life to be illuminated and empowered and blessed by God. And you'll get that with your close-in relationship with him. When you fellowship with him and pray and see him. And his life will grow in you, it'll mature in you, it'll progress in you, and then bring you into the knowledge of the ways of the Lord. Amen. So very clearly, the apostle is not talking about a physical act of walking around in the sun, but a spiritual act of living our lives fully illuminated. Illuminated by the life and light of Christ in us and the hope of his glory. By the hope and the promise of who Jesus truly is. And what he can do for us. The New Living Translation renders 1 John 1:7 this way. But if we are living in the light of God's presence, just as Christ is, then we have fellowship. Let me read that again. If we are living in the light of God's presence, just as Christ is, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Christ, his Son, cleanses us from every sin. Now, the spiritual living of our life for Jesus Christ will affect our physical walk through this world. It's important as we witness for Christ that others see the expression of the light of God manifesting in us and through us. After all, Jesus did say, we are the light of the world. In Matthew 5:14-16, he said to his disciples, and he's speaking to you and me today, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. Amen. The people's New Testament, in speaking to this matter of Christians being the light of the world, points out that the business of the church is not only to save, but to enlighten. So Christ is light, and his disciples must be a true witness of that light. A city set on a hill, and ancient cities for the sake of defense were placed on hills. So cities are seen from afar. In like manner, we must also give forth that light and be like a city set on a hill. We have not thrown in a towel yet, have we, saints? It's so needful that you and I be that living testimony. Our hearts have not grown cold. Amen. We are not apostate. We have not abandoned our post as shepherds and watchmen, have we? So must the reality of Christ being alive in the world and in his church must shine through us, his people, the redeemed of the Lord. Hallelujah. You and I must be like a great light shining from a hill that must be easily seen from afar. People need to know we are who we are. They need to know we are here when the chips are down.
Yes, yes.
Amen. This is pretty much what God's word is saying in Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And on this verse, a New Testament application commentary says the stream in a locomotive does not exist to toot the whistle. Its purpose is to power the engine. And move the train. Amen. So too, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit is not given to people to feel Holy Ghost goosebumps, emotional highs, or warm, fuzzy feelings. The Spirit comes upon us in order that the message of the gospel might be moved through the world. The idea that Jesus would be revealed to the world through the faithful, living, spiritual empowerment and godly witness of his church, the body of Christ, is what it's all about. So the question was posed, can you hide a city that is sitting on the mountaintop? Its light at night can be seen for miles. The point being, if we live for Christ, our lives will reflect his glory, showing others what Christ is like. So we hide our light by being quiet when we should speak, going along with the crowd, denying the light, letting sin dim our light, not explaining our light to others, or ignoring the needs of others. Christians are to be a beacon of truth. So don't shut your light off from the rest of the world. It is time for our world, for the church, to be bold and to be courageous. Amen. Charles Spurgeon, in training young ministers, said to his students, when you talk about heaven, let your face light up with a heavenly glory. When you tell them about hell, your everyday face will do. Is that to suggest what some of us go around looking like, you know? You know, sometimes we can just so defeated. And we're not to be defeated. Amen. You're not fighting for victory, you're fighting from victory. I got that from Joseph Prince. That's not my original. Amen. Interesting story. If we only be faithful in our religious life, as many are, in their earthly and business life, fewer souls will be stranded on the reefs of eternity. One night, the keeper of the lighthouse on a rocky coast was taken ill and was unable to attend the light. The machinery failed, was out of order, and the light failed to revolve. A storm swept the dangerous coast, and the keeper's boy, a mere lad, climbed up to the lamp and, during all the long hours of the storm and night, turned with his own hands the lantern. In the morning, it was learned that two vessels with 700 souls on board had been able to make the harbor by the aid of the revolving light that had been kept in motion by the often tired but vigilant boy. Unconsciously, the faithful boy had seen, probably had been the means of saving hundreds of lives, and all because he kept the light where it could be seen. Boy, you just never know what you do for people. When you give them a smile in the store, you shake their hands. An old person that you used to come to your church, you see them and you holler out and just greet them like they were still, you know, part of your family. Just loving people. Amen. Amen. He kept the light where it could be seen. Keeping the light of Christ in you where it can be seen means you're allowing the light of God to shine forth through you as you faithfully and courageously serve Christ. Here's a story of that, a story of what might be thought of as true power on a well-placed light. West Virginia folklore has a tale about a couple who called for a doctor late one night as the wife was ready to deliver a baby. The country physician turned the rustic farmhouse into a makeshift delivery room. The husband was handed a lantern and instructed to hold it up so the doctor could see. After a healthy boy was born, the man lowered the lantern. The doctor shouted for this new father to get the lantern up as he delivered another baby, this time a girl. The father was thrown into shock when the doctor once again insisted that the light be held up. He said, "We can't stop now. Look, there's another one coming." The shaky father then asked the doctor, "Did you think the light is what's attracting them?" The light will attract them, saints. They won't always know what it is that you got. But we like to say, you cannot lose with the stuff we use. Amen. The light will attract them. And those who subject their lives to the light of God's reality will find comfort in His presence, certainty in His promises, and care in His provisions. Amen. Bless the Lord. And I think that I'll let that be it. Praise the Lord. Walk in the light. Amen.